It's basketball season, and we've got you covered. The Ringer NBA show breaks down the latest and greatest around the league 5 days a week. Check out the Ringer NBA show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
I'm wearing shorts.
We're going to have a chat.
About what? About shorts?
Just about some of your life decisions.
Life choices. Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast, Ringer FC. I'm Musa Okwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I am all right, thanks, Musa. How are you?
Very well, thanks. All the better for seeing you, Ryan.
Wow, you're really hyped this morning.
I am. Just happy. Do you know what happens? Because when the weather's bad and the vibes are bad outside, I overcompensate by going the other way.
Weather?
Yeah, the weather's bad.
Oh, see, I love it when it rains. Although, little update, I did go out in shorts on Monday night after we did the podcast.
I told you it was shorts weather.
Yeah, but it wasn't on Sunday. It was on the fence on Sunday.
No, it wasn't. You were fighting it because on Sunday I was out.
I'm not a fighter.
Listeners of the podcast, he's changing the narrative. It was 27 on Sunday.
Yeah, we've already gone into this. Anyway, it's not 27 now.
Wow, okay.
It's cold and it's raining, so.
Yeah, your bad vibes have affected the surrounding. Anyway, no.
What's wrong with my bad vibes? I don't bring bad vibes. See, he's all chipper on Twitter and that.
Exactly.
You don't get to see behind the curtain, everyone. He's a monster. Hope everyone stays safe and well. Eid Mubarak to anyone celebrating today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I suppose some admin?
Yep.
Ringer.com/soccer, your piece went up on Monday.
Yeah, just a piece about the Champions League. Yeah.
Very good indeed.
No, thanks, dude.
As ever, Musa Okwonga. You should think about writing a book.
Gold star. I don't think anyone needs any more books from me at this point. So it's enough to get on with. A friend of mine was like, oh, I'm going to read your book. I was like, nah, life's too short, my man. Don't go out and enjoy yourselves.
Which one, though? Is it Will You Manage? Was it a curveball? One from the archives.
Oh, no one reads that anymore. Oh, my goodness.
Stadio Outro playlist on Spotify. You can check all the music we play out with each episode in one handy playlist. The newest one's at the top. And yeah, if you do listen to us on a podcast app that allows you to rate and review, please do so. It would be very kind. And I think that's everything. So today we're going to cover a couple of little bits of football and then we're going to open up the mailbag. We haven't done a proper mailbag for ages.
While. Yeah.
So thanks to everyone who submitted questions. And oh yeah, another thing is, it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week. We didn't mention it on Monday. But one thing that we would say is that, you know, our emails are always open. We might take a little while to get back, but we're trying to get better at it.
Yeah.
StadioFootball@gmail.com. If you ever want to get in touch, anything at all. Apart from, I don't know, Moose's media requests. I'm not his agent, all right?
Yeah.
Jesus. It's like, I'm not getting paid enough for this shit.
Oh God.
If he's airing your tweets, there's a reason for it. Don't email me about it.
I'm not seeing the tweets. I don't see all the tweets.
Yeah, it's hard when you've got a billion followers, isn't it?
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, I don't see the tweets. I've just got too many followers. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to speak up a bit. Guys, you're going to have to speak up a bit.
Wow. Okay.
Do you know what I think? I think anyone who wants to actually talk to you on Twitter just has to reply to you more. Actually,
wow,
just keep
at Ryan Hunt.
If Booster doesn't reply straight away, just give him a few follow-ups.
The best thing to do is just keep atting Ryan, because Ryan gets so irritated eventually he tells me, so it's probably the thing to do. Like, why are they always telling me?
And that's what I find Twitter, actually.
So just tweet Ryan. Yeah. That's the best way to do it, I think.
I've been splained quite a lot recently.
You have been
I don't know, just sad times anyway. I mean, obviously, we should start with the news that Manchester City wrapped up the title because of the result at Old Trafford, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But we're going to save that because we want to go in a little bit more detail, talk about Pep, talk about Man City. So we'll save that either for Monday or after the final weekend of the Premier League fixtures. Congrats, Man City fans. Third title under Pep in 4 years, which is amazing. But yeah, we'll talk about that more. Elsewhere, Arsenal won a game of football.
They did. Not without heavy assistance.
Good grief. That was a tough watch.
Arsenal beating Chelsea at Stamford Bridge for the first time in 10 years.
Yes, since Mikel Arteta was in the side. Emil Smith Rowe with a goal that it summed up so much. It was just like, it was very messy. And then Emil Smith Rowe kind of scuffed the finish anyway, and it kind of went in off the post. And it was just a bit like, this is the goal that comes at the end of a season in a pandemic.
What was really funny about the whole goal was that we had this big conversation about how all the rotation and like Chelsea weren't playing their best team and all the best of it in another game. And I was like, it's so funny how Jorginho, who's been the centerpiece of like a lot of their best work this year, plays that pass and it's just all tired. Like, also, it's also a thing about the lack of coordination between Jorginho and Kepa for that anyway. Would have been one of the worst own goals this season.
Yeah. I mean, also though, like, Chelsea absolutely dominated the game. They didn't create that much in the second half, but if they had done and won the game 3-1, I don't think anyone could have complained about it. But on the other hand, I think it's quite a minor result for Chelsea in the end, because I think they'll finish top four. I think if Tuchel was going to pick one game to drop points and, well, one game to lose this week, let's say, I think he would have picked this one.
Think about Tuchel's post-match interviews. They're so honest that they're actually disarming. So you're like, oh, like, do you think you did this? Do you think you did that too much? It's like, oh yeah, we rotated too much. Probably had a bit too much of the mind in the cup final. And you're like, you're saying all the things that your critics are going to say, and you've said them in about 2 minutes, and then you've bounced. And it's actually quite cathartic for everyone.
Was that the German interview or the English interview?
The English one.
Oh, because did you see his German one?
No, the English
very,
one.
Very, very different.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
And this is something I think Derek Ray commented on a while back. At Derek Ray on Twitter, the great Bundesliga commentator. He said, I think it was Derek Ray. If it wasn't, go and follow Derek anyway.
Probably sounds like a Derek Ray thing.
Yeah, where he was saying that the difference in Tuchel's interviewing in English and German is really, really interesting. He comes across as like a lot more affable in English. Whereas in German, he was very spiky.
He went nuclear.
After the game. I think he was interviewed by Rafa, actually. Rafa Honigstein on Sky Sport. Yeah, he was very, very spiky to the point where it cut back to the studio and Florian in the studio was just like, oh, and Heiser's interview kind of thing. And it was just
that's deep.
Yeah, it was. He was pretty spiky. And I've noticed that a lot. Like when he's done German interviews, he's been far less patient.
I prefer the way a lot of coaches speak English with foreign accents and like, not just the way they frame stuff. Mm. There's such a precision to it. Sometimes when you speak another language, you're more careful with the detail. And so like everything he says in English absolutely lands. So his post-match critique of like Havertz missing that chance, which was a key chance.
Mm, yeah, it was.
He's very honest about it, very bracing about it. And just in relation to the intensity that Chelsea showed or the lack of it, I don't know. I love it because when you have a kind of conversation like that, it almost like it strips away so much pretense. It stops a lot of swirl. If a manager gets up there and is so defensive about what's actually happened, it does create room for people to chip away at the facade. But if there's no facade, you're like, okay, it was a bad game, not an ideal result. we move.
I mean, that's literally what it is. It was literally like it wasn't the best game from Chelsea. They rotated. They've got a cup final on the weekend. Arsenal absolutely really dug in and defended for their lives, which was probably the best thing about the Arsenal performance.
Mm.
It was very much like a ninth place side in the Premier League upsetting a top four side at home.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's absolutely very much what it was. Like, Arsenal weren't... I think Arsenal completed something like 200-odd passes and...
Goodness.
Had very, very little possession. But... I don't think any Arsenal fan had seen that, had watched that game and thought, yeah, really enjoyed that. It's like, really enjoyed the result.
Yeah, this is the renaissance. Yeah, this
and
is the renaissance.
I understand why the performance was there, but from a Chelsea point of view, it's just like, just got sucker punched with a goal and Arsenal sat in. And it's like,
yeah, absolutely. That happens.
Mikel Arteta with no recognised right backs on the pitch to start with, three on the bench. There was some good right back chat going around because of it.
I noticed that. I didn't want to comment. I saw you tweet that and I was like, you know what?
Which one?
No. You know what I'm talking about. I saw that tweet.
Right back, Aris.
You see? How interesting. I was like, yeah, if that's me that tweets that, it's like, oh, Musa. And I said, no, let him sit there. I said, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'll see you on the podcast. I was like, how interesting. When I send a tweet like that, people send out search warrants. How interesting. And I just thought to myself, I thought, you know what? I'm chaotic. You even tweeted the picture, Daenerys. What, you said, release them all.
Yeah.
Like they were dragons.
Yeah, exactly. There was three of them, right? And then three. Like Bellerin went down, which is like when one of them got, like when one of them went. And then
got the spear of the Night King.
Yeah. There's only two left.
I saw that tweet. Thought, you know what? Let me just hold back.
Surprised at you actually, because you're usually very trigger happy on a retweet.
I left it well alone. I was like, no, I'm not gonna let Twitter feed on this. Let him.
It was a little bit silly. I tweeted far too much about Arsenal on Wednesday. Because
I was crying. I saw that tweet, Ryan. I was crying. I was howling. So I saw that.
Some good right back chat.
Very funny.
I mean, I actually said that Arsenal don't score that goal with a recognised right back on the pitch.
Sending on right backs, you know, we didn't send that many right backs. You are having a moment, aren't you? You are having a moment.
I mean, Saka played as the right wing back, and I think there was a lot of space down there. Jasmine Babba did like an immediate tactical reaction piece about it, and she was saying the same thing. There's a lot of space down there. She was actually saying that would have made more sense for Werner to play with that space, but cup final was more important.
Before I think, what's the most fullbacks we've seen on a pitch at any one time?
That's a question for Duncan Alexander.
It is, but I'm just throwing it out. I'm not saying we should answer it now. I'm just throwing it out there because I'd be interested to see how many fullbacks have been on a pitch at any one time.
Mm.
People who've played, like, yeah.
There was a great moment at some time in the second half where Arsenal were playing a 6-3-1. It was like, this is cool.
6-3-1, oh my God.
I was into it, man. Why not? Anyway, we should talk about the other games because Manchester United, this was a bigger crime than the Super League, according to some people, because they rotated. And Leicester won at Old Trafford for the first time in the top flight since 1998.
Amazing.
2-1.
Yep.
Again, I think this is very easily compartmentalised, like the Chelsea result for Manchester United.
Yeah, and Klopp didn't have a problem with the rotation. There was a lot of talk about, oh, Klopp would have done the same. But he was like, no, I get it. I understand it. Considering the schedule, I've said this before.
Klopp said it was a crime.
Klopp said it many times. Yeah, schedule's terrible. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was a loss for United, but I mean, a lot of United fans are not so secretly happy about that because it makes things a bit harder for Liverpool. I mean, personally, I just think you get the wins where you can. The only high spot for United really was a gorgeous goal by Mason Greenwood, who I think has now got 6 in his last 6.
Yeah, that was an amazing goal.
The way he sort of smuggled it was a very sort of like a Hazard type thing when you're taking the ball on the run. And he's so good. You said this before. He's so good with his like, with both feet.
Mm.
Like he takes the ball equally well with both feet, sets it up with both feet really well. The touch that he takes, the couple of touches he takes to take it past the defender when he receives it, that is like peak Eden Hazard.
It was, yeah.
Actually. Yeah, Hazard's ability to go like that at speed to like attack space, attack. Actually, no, Hazard's different actually. Some players attack space and Hazard and Greenwood attack gaps almost slightly before they fully emerge. which is the hallmark, I think, of the greatest dribblers, actually, to attack a wall knowing it's going to part at some point very soon. Mm. I hate to mention it to Arsenal fans, but do you remember the one when he had the penalty, that incredible run he went on when like...
No, can't remember.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay, bleep that out.
Really? Yeah, Arsenal just won at Stamford Bridge the first time in 10 years, you bring that up?
Sorry. Okay.
This fucking guy, everyone. Tweet him, at Ogwonga, just keep replying. If he doesn't respond, just keep replying.
Keep replying. So yeah, that was United's loss. I tell you, it was spicy though.
We need to talk about Luke Thomas's goal.
Oh my God.
Because that was absolutely amazing. And the thing is, that goal...
That is a Van Basten type finish.
Doesn't matter whether you got 9 changes or not.
No one's saving that.
Nope.
You wouldn't say there were 9 goalkeepers, to be honest. I mean, that was... the angle of that.
It was so good, man.
It was very Van Basten. Yeah. The depth of the cross and the control and the placement. Or like Totti, like Francesco Totti. It's like, it's one of those things, you see that on like a top striker's highlight reel.
An
experienced striker, like a Batistuta. That it's right up there with everything.
I don't want to go through the other games in too much detail, but Southampton obviously beat Palace on Tuesday. Hertha beat Schalke to climb up to 13th in the Bundesliga. It looks like they're going to... Well, there's only 3 points between them and Arminia Bielefeld in the relegation playoff, but I think they're going to... They look good, Hertha. Unbeaten in 7 since Dortmund beat them before their quarantine break. Someone finally looks like they want to win La Liga.
There they do. They do just about.
Atleti were brilliant against Real Sociedad and very, very... played with an urgency I've not seen for a long time.
Yeah, they did really good.
It was nervy at the end. Marcus Llorente.
Two players who've not had the most consistent seasons in front of goal. Carrasco and Correa really stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, those players give you everything else though. They work really hard. So they got the end product early. Well, they went up to an early 2-0 lead within about half an hour. And then they should have got a third, actually. Maybe, I suppose, in the second half, they were slightly less precise on the count than they could have been. Could have been decisive. I love how unselfish Atleti are on the break. I've got to say that much. Should have made it 3-0. And they almost paid for that because Atleti did up it. But then Jan Oblak is just superb.
Like Spanish Football Podcast says, Oblaktopus.
Yeah, Oblaktopus. He saved things. He said he has no right to. He really has no right to save a couple of
those. This is an essential result for Atleti because Barca dropped points away at Levante on Tuesday, 3-3 draw. Yeah. Levante, who have cost the top 3 10 points this season.
Levante have come up big. I mean, obviously, they took a few points of Atleti in a couple of matches in the space of a week. And it was funny because there was always that gut feeling they'd pull the same trick on Barca. And confession here, I think I told you this. I fell asleep at 3-2 with about 10 minutes to go because the game, it was late, it was 10 p.m. kickoff, it was late and I thought, let me catch up in the morning. So with 10 minutes to go, I fall asleep and I think it's 3-2 or 50 minutes to go and I wake up and I'm like, Barca, what have you done? The first thing I saw the next morning on Twitter was a picture that this Spanish football podcast had tweeted about Ronald Koeman and Koeman just looked absolutely despondent and frustrated and I was like, no, tell me this hasn't happened again. And it happened again.
Happened again.
Paco Lopez's outfit have done it again.
I'm a little bit worried about Getafe. They're down to 16th now. Valladolid have got a game in hand. They're only 3 points ahead of Valladolid.
Mm.
2 games to go in La Liga. Serie A, Milan abandoned the unofficial Serie A gentleman's agreement by sticking 7 past Torino. Torino were just like, do it.
Well, this is the thing I've said about Milan before. This is arguably their strongest team. Krunic, Kessier running riot. Bennacer looking really good. Krunic will coming on, I think. But Rebic at the top is the 9. The fluidity they get with Rebic there, it's a game changer for them. Mm-hmm. And it has been, actually, I think, in a lot of their best performances. I know Zlatan scored plenty. This has always felt like the future of Milan, watching Rebic up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a hat-trick last night. His movement was superb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can be a volume goal scorer, and he is. And I just think the aim for him next year, I think he's just getting even better and scoring even more, really pushing through. He's got some important goals this year, but I think that looking at this performance last night, if they can get more of a tune out of Tonali in his second season, they could be going places, I think.
Top 5-1 in Serie A. Quickly before, well, 2 things before we move on. First of all, well, actually, no, we've got one thing about Casey Stoney, but we'll save that for the questions because we've got a question about Casey Stoney. Sporting They won the top flight for the first time in 19 years on Tuesday, beat Boa Vista 1-0 at home. They're unbeaten in the league. There's two games to go before they do an invincible season. So Sporting back on top. It was amazing as well. I was watching the game. It was a very fun game to watch. But yeah, props to Sporting. Great achievement. And let's hope they can do this season unbeaten. Right, we're going to get into questions after this.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Dan Kirby says, Casey Stoney, discuss. So Casey Stoney will step down as Manchester United coach. She cited, I think, or alluded to conditions, especially at the club in terms of training and resources and finance and stuff like that. From all accounts, it looks like she is potentially heading to the NWSL, to the new San Diego franchise.
That's a terrible loss for Manchester United.
It's a massive loss because I think their fund, even though they have up their funding in the last couple of years, and you can obviously see that in terms of progress, I think it's still quite a way behind that top three.
Mm.
And Man United have actually been punching above their weight in the Super League this season. Which seems weird to say about Manchester United because they're, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world. But I think that compared to the top three, I don't think they have still dedicated enough resources over to the women's side of the club. And
she put them like a year and a half ahead of schedule.
Way ahead, yeah. Because obviously Joe Montemurro has left Arsenal as well. And I was just like, well, this makes loads of sense. Ex-captain, won trophies at Arsenal, available. Mm. That'd be so weird, actually, if you think about it. You had like managers of both the women's and men's first teams that had both captained the club, won trophies at the club, and were now managers at the club.
It's incredible, yeah.
But anyway, she's not. It looks like she's not going to be there. She's going to go to the States. I think it's a shame. This it's obviously a great opportunity for her, and living in Southern California.
Goodness, yeah.
Getting paid to coach a football team, living in Southern California. Wow.
But it just feels like, and this is. You look what was being, but it's bad for everyone. It's bad for Manchester United. It's bad for the Women's Super League. Having this fall, and I'm not saying they won't get in a very good manager still, but just Casey Stoney and what she built there, and the intensity they brought. It's no accident that Chelsea have been this good this year, because I think that Manchester United have catalyzed everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been essential. Like you look what they've done, and to a certain extent, Everton too, and also like Reading, like as a mid-table team, like the quality of that upper and midsection of the Women's Super League has produced some of the best football as a ripple effect throughout Europe because there just haven't been easy weeks. You can't take a week off. Look how Chelsea got chased to the very end because they knew it had to be like that. And I don't know, I just feel sad that she's going out to a project that's under development, whereas Manchester United were under development, but in contention kind of. They were maybe 2 years away, 2 years of good recruitment away from making a sustained run from the very start of a season.
Mm.
Like a sustained run where it was like, these people are legitimately dangerous and could take the whole thing with Stoney still there. And I don't know, it really is interesting because there was enough money for a Super League, wasn't there? There was enough money to do a breakaway. There wasn't enough money to keep one of the elite coaches of her era happy. You know, that's bad.
Yeah, well, that's there really wasn't bad enough money to join a Super League, which is why they wanted to join a Super League, right?
I mean, the day there's not enough money at Manchester United is the day the sun falls out of the sky, frankly. But anyway,
I could do with fixing up Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a shame to see. It's a shame to see her leave the league. You know, we've gone on about Man United recently and the problems there, but I think that just a real shame that a talent like Casey Stoney would want to leave the club for reasons like that.
Can I say this as well? Actually, to give a shout out to people at Manchester United, because there are people in that organisation that really care about doing the right thing. There are people in that organisation that fought really hard to get the women's team off the ground.
Mm.
And I actually really feel for them. It must be so gutting because they worked so hard to get that thing going. They attracted all this incredible talent. They were building something really beautiful. And how gutted would they be, because they've worked so hard to get this done. And there's so much joy and enthusiasm about it. You see it from the fan base and the way that people have got behind it. I mean, a couple of the podcasts in particular have been amazing. Red Voices podcast, shout out to them. Their coverage of this has been superb, as a great United podcast that cover the men and women's game. And, you know, a lot of the big Man United youth accounts have got behind the women's team as well. And it's just, it's so sad, because this was a real beacon, actually. You've got Solskjaer doing well on the pitch, really well on the pitch with the men's team, the women's team really surging. This is the reason this frustrates me, is because it was a speed bump that wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Staying in the Super League, this one from Ross RC Stewart 1843. With Roosevelt getting 3 starts in the final 16 City matches this season, surely there's no way she stays there. Where is the best fit in Europe where she can actually run a midfield in 21-22? I don't think she's going to stay in Europe. Actually, I think she's probably going to go to OL Reign, who own her playing rights if she decides to return to the NWSL. I mean, there's been quite a big turnover of players already this week. For example, Jill Roard left Arsenal, went to Wolfsburg. Saki Kumagai left Lyon, went to Bayern. So those two strengthening, their season's not even done yet. The title's not even been decided in Germany. I think for Arsenal, losing Jill Roard was a big deal. She's been one of Arsenal's best players over the last 2 seasons. And really good for goals, really good for assists, really good dominant midfielder. And I think it's a real shame to lose her, but Wolfsburg paid a transfer fee. And I think that's still quite rare in those cases in the women's game.
It's a big statement for Wolfsburg as well.
It is a big statement. Yeah, she's still only 24, I think, Jill Roard. So obviously used to play for Bayern. So good to see her back in the Frauen Bundesliga. I mean, I do think there is, and I know this sounds like I'm being a little bit of a homer here, but like there is a bit of a space for a playmaking midfielder at Arsenal. But my gut reaction is that she's going to go to OL Reign. I don't think she'll stay in Europe, actually.
It sounds strange to say this considering the season Manchester City had, and it maybe sounds ridiculous, but I don't think they fully cracked their rotation, that they fully got it working. Yeah. That makes sense.
Let's go to another question. I have this one from Matt Wolf, who says, going off Ajax melting their trophy, what specific trophy would you most want a piece of? So Ajax have melted down the Eredivisie trophy to make little stars for each of the 42,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to my mate, Bert. Shout out to Bert. He's getting one.
That's lovely.
That's a really nice touch, I think, this for my ex.
I love it.
Which trophy would you most want a piece of?
Oh my God, it's sacrilege. I know which one immediately I'd want a piece of, but I feel ashamed to even say it because I think that trophy is so beautiful. It should never be melted down. The 99 Champions League. I think the Champions League trophy, we don't talk about how beautiful that trophy is enough. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's the Palace of Versailles of like, football trophies. Like, it's the trophy you expect to find at the end of a quest. And it's so funny, isn't it? Because the two most iconic trophies in football are the World Cup and the Champions League, and they're completely different sizes. Even like, you need a different grip to hold either of them, but they both feel absolutely right. World Cup as a trophy, it's funny because it's small, but it's so epic.
Weighty.
I got to say this actually, for football, For the football, sort of the architects, for people that crafted the aesthetics of football, they were so inspired and they created those two. They really were. How about yourself?
I think I would go for the gold Premier League trophy that Arsene got for going invincible.
I didn't know he got a gold one.
Yeah, they got a little mini gold one from the Premier League.
I was going to say, I didn't realise. Yeah, I thought it was like a big old, you know.
No. It was the one that they gifted him, I think, when he left the club. It was a bit harsh, that, actually, thinking about it. Hey, Arsene, can you melt down your gold trophy and give me a star? But I think if he was going to do it, I think if as long as he got another one out of it, but that one would be great.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel about it. Yeah, because the 99 one you can't melt that trophy.
Couple of funny questions. Rich Newbold, does anyone actually want to win La Liga?
Well, yes, they do now. Yeah, they do now.
Cunley Ajayo. Cunley, by the way, is
a menace.
He's pushing his luck here. He's going to get blocked soon. Kohonjo, the Stadio fan club. He's pushing his luck. He just said something a Levante episode.
I saw that. I was howling. I was like, this man. Wow.
All right, before we go for a break, let's do this one for Stuart Taylor. This is naughty. We'll use this to revisit something that we did earlier on in the season.
Okay.
Outside predictions to win the top leagues next year. He says...
menacing. This is a menace.
He said, Arsenal, Atalanta, Sevilla, Dortmund and Monaco for me. Now, do you remember when we did the episode very early on in the season, we had a question saying, "What? Give us one hot take for the season."
Well, I gave like 50.
I think yours was Barcelona winning the league.
It was.
And actually wasn't that wild.
It wasn't that wild. And then Barcelona just did what Barcelona have been doing a lot this year.
Mine was Arsenal qualified for the Champions League.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Oh no. I missed that time.
The worst thing is that Barcelona have cost themselves. This is the worst thing about it. They were in perfect position to win this league.
Yeah, but they were also like, it was like that tweet that someone, I can't remember what it was. Michael Owen wrote a tweet the other day and someone reposted it saying, how does this tweet manage to be wrong, right and boring at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of what like Barca have been like this season. Like they've been bad. They've been good. They shouldn't have been there, but they actually should be. They absolutely should be there. Does that make sense? They're like a paradox. That's like,
They are.
But if you consider where they were this time last year, or maybe not this time last year because everything was pushed back, but after the Bayern result and then Messi leaving and Bartomeu still being there, I mean...
Someone sent a tweet about Messi, quoting Messi, and when Messi said, it's only when people look back, they'll realise what a huge achievement it was to win 8 leagues in 11 years. People don't appreciate that
yet. 8 leagues in 11 years.
It's unbelievable. And they weren't beating clowns.
Nope.
They were not beating clowns.
All right, so let's do these predictions, Stuart Taylor. All right, so let's go. So it has to be outside predictions to win the top leagues next year. So you can't, let's say, you know, you can't say Chelsea, for example, because I don't think Chelsea are an outside prediction to win the Premier League.
I mean, then Leicester then. Okay, let's say Leicester. You know what? Lille going to come back strong again. Do you know why I say that? Because I think there'll be a lot of people going, oh, like Lille just like maybe... fluked it, caught PSG napping. Now Lille legit, they're legit.
I like the Monaco shout.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot because Monaco have been ascending and they know they had chances and they kind of fluffed the ascent.
Mm.
Monaco were like, they got to game seven of the best of seven and they missed a couple of free throws. They didn't expect to get to game seven. This is the thing. I don't think Monaco expected to be as competitive as they were this year. So, yeah, Monaco's a great shout. And in Serie A, now Serie A is a funny one. Atalanta, yes, but I think Milan, I don't know, I think Milan are going to come strong.
Outside chance for outsiders, outside predictions for Serie A next season?
Milan.
Juventus.
Do you know what's funny? Do you know what's funny about Juventus? I looked at this squad at the start of the season and thought, this squad is unbalanced. Like even if that team was coached to the best of its capabilities, it's still not a routine. I mean, they should have been. Like, to be honest, they should be neck and neck with Inter. I still think they should be because I think that Conte, Juventus wins Serie A.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that. But I also think the squad does have imbalance issues that go beyond Ronaldo. I think they're imbalanced in midfield, to be honest.
Remember looking at their squad at the beginning of the season, just thinking there's a lot here, but it's a mess.
Yeah.
But
So you've got a bowl of soup and you go to like get some cutlery and all you find there is knives. It was like that at some point.
Was that an Alanis Morissette lyric?
No, it's not. It's my own.
10,000 spoons and all you need is a knife. Isn't it ironic?
Oh, right. So it's a different...
Can't believe you're biting off irony. Alanis Morissette.
That's not irony though, is it?
Well, take it out with Alanis.
But that's not the word for it. That's at the... I'm not going to get into this. I've had this conversation with that song already.
Wow. I think we've got him, everyone. I think we've found this trigger point.
I was talking to myself. My theory with that song... Ironic by Alanis Morissette has always been that she was actually giving every example and she was like, I'm gonna name all these examples of irony in a song. The irony is that none of them are ironic. That, I think, was the point of the song.
Really? So we didn't really answer that question, but I don't really know because it's hard to like, what's an outsider, what's not?
Right.
You know, I think Stuart's are actually pretty fair, apart from the Arsenal one, which is wild.
He's an Arsenal fan though, isn't he?
This is an interesting thing though, with the Premier League. if you think about it, it's like, what is an outsider anymore in the Premier League? Because you've essentially got five teams who, if they won the Premier League, it wouldn't be like an upset.
Mm.
It's quite strange, isn't it? I think maybe Leicester again would be my shout for next year, but I just don't think they'll be able to sustain over a season.
Yeah, that's why I say they're an outsider, because I think they're going to need a bit of luck. I think an outsider basically is someone that needs teams with more resources to be distracted by being competitive on multiple fronts, mm. which is why I wouldn't put like United there, because United are kind of, you know, they have the resources,
mm.
whether or not they choose to use them. So yeah, I say Leicester, definitely. And in Italy, actually Atalanta, why not? Atalanta,
yeah.
why not?
Well, yeah,
because they don't have, said that they massively, massively outperform their budget.
Do you know who I'm going to go for in La Liga? Might not be a title, but an outside chance for a top four spot at least. This is Villarreal next year.
Really?
Mm.
Okay, another year to get that midfield and attack working in sync. They've got some nice pieces as well at Villarreal. We're top five or top four?
Four.
I like that. What's it like dropping out Sevilla potentially? They're the most likely to drop out. But then again, Real could have a bad one.
Anyone could.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Coach Giazzi says, just curious, what is Moose's favorite cupcake that he's ever had?
Oh, that's easy. Oh my goodness, an easy question for once. Sea salt caramel.
Ooh.
With a, yeah, sea salt caramel with the vanilla sponge.
Oh my God.
And then, yeah, and then you got the toffee popcorn on top.
Holy shit. What?
Shout out to Cupcake Berlin. They're amazing.
My sister's calling. One sec. Let's answer it live on the show.
Oh my goodness.
You're live on Stadio.
Oh.
Can I call you back?
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, my sister. Bless her.
That's lovely.
Right, another one for you, Musa, from Bob Priestley. It's interesting, this, actually. I'm interested in seeing the answer. Could Musa please talk about the Ruud Gullit / Brazil story? It sounds like an interesting anecdote.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it. I'm going to bleep it, so it's up to you whether you want to put the
effort. Well, it wasn't actually, Ruud Gullit wasn't in, I didn't meet him in the country beginning with the letter B. And it was the Loris Sports Awards.
I think everyone knows this though, no? Because you told the story on Stadio.
No, I don't think I have. So I don't know if I've told the story about...
talking about your pal, Jill Ellis.
Oh, did I mention? I didn't mention that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
and the Del Piero thing. Yeah. And the Cafu. Okay,
yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, we know. Everyone knows. If anyone wants to know it and... I'm not repeating this stuff. Sedentary Gary, the...
Honorary Stadio club president.
Honorary Stadio president, lifelong. Yeah. Not a particularly democratic position, to be honest, Gary. But Gary says, with seemingly everyone on the Ringer Podcast Network publishing a book, is Ryan open to any ideas? How about a tale of an up-and-coming Bundesliga 2 player who travels to Brazil on a mission from UEFA to compose a new Europa League theme tune? I think there's a book already kind of loosely around that theme. I think it's called The Road.
A bleak journey.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, though, I chatted about doing a book, didn't I? But I think I'm going to have to We'll wait. It's going to be a while. I'm not sure if I'll do it. I mean, I'm not sure if I really have the talent to do a book, but
you do.
I'll try.
You do.
Stop it. Maybe one day when I get to that age where I can wear cardigans and people don't judge me for it.
You do a great book.
Thanks, Musa.
Trick is just not to overthink it. Trick is just to like get the idea and run with it, I reckon.
Sounds good. Here we go. Biggest catfish of all time. Annual. Here we come.
You're not even the biggest catfish on this podcast. But
that's my book. Do you know what it's going to be? I'll tell you what. I'll be able to... I'll do 50,000 words, no problem. It's like my struggle. A memoir working with Musa Ogwonga.
If we...
There you go.
If we did a Stadio book called The Catfish Chronicles, I think people actually got it.
I'm gonna call my book Working with a Catfish.
Clear and present catfish.
I've seen things you've never believed. That's my opening line.
Oh, devastating. Let's roll. Next question.
Abbas, Azaria. Shouts to Abbas.
Yes.
It's been a mad packed long season. What are you looking forward to when football has a little downtime later on? I mean, what do we get? 10 days, 11 days before the Euros? 12 days? What?
Yeah, you know what's actually funny? Because in Berlin, outside spaces are opening up soon-ish. So the bars and restaurants. So I'm most looking forward to an evening meal with two really good friends.
Am I one of the friends?
No, Ryan, you're not, because I see you all the time.
Three really good friends then.
Ryan, do you actually like hanging out with me away from the podcast?
It is really weird this though, right? Because we're going for a coffee tomorrow, but we actually haven't seen each other for ages.
Really? When's the last time we...
I think the last time you and I saw each other was when we...
Say goodbye to a friend of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's a month. It's a month?
Yeah. 3 weeks? A month? And yet... It feels like I can't get rid of it.
That's true. Oh God.
This is it. It's like this whole pandemic is a paradox.
It is.
Actually, one of the things that's quite funny is that I don't know if you get this, but a few friends of mine have texted me recently and then been like, and I've said, not spoke to you for ages. How's it going? And they're like, oh yeah. Because I listen to Stadio, I just forget that we actually don't talk. But I feel like I feel like I've spoken to you quite a lot.
And yeah, like, people assume they've caught up with
brilliant.
You. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thanks, guys. Like, no, I want to speak to you.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
Yeah, maybe that's why my dad just stopped calling now.
Do you know, the wild thing of the pandemic is it's just how it warps all sense of time. Like, I missed this. There's a thing I have to pay for monthly, but it's not a routine payment. So I went, this thing I have to pay for monthly, and I missed the payment only by a couple of days because I forgot the month had started again. A new month has started.
Mm.
Just because there's just no concept of anything at this point. Nope. Yeah.
The thing I'm looking forward to, I mean, we'll get probably 2 weeks off before we start doing the Euro stuff, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. No, maybe a week, actually, because of the Champions League and stuff like that. I'm going to do some stuff around the flat. Sort my flat out a little bit. Read. I've not been reading much. It's really, like, I still haven't finished In the End It Was All About Love, and I haven't started one of them because I haven't had the capacity to read for ages. It's really, really strange.
I haven't been reading either, to be honest. I haven't been reading either.
Even though I've read a few things, the amount that I read plummeted during the pandemic. Like, I actually read way less than I was reading before the pandemic, which is really strange. I think maybe because I wasn't traveling so much, I would often read when I was traveling.
I think that's funny. I find myself watching a lot of TV, film, series, because I think when you've got moving images, it's immersing yourself in stuff that's like a media activity. It's like being in a city centre again.
Mm.
Whereas reading a book, you have to do a lot of imaginative work to immerse yourself and find those worlds.
Yeah, for sure. Emily Oram said, putting all the disclaimers aside, COVID, etc., have you enjoyed this season? That's a really tough question, actually, because I think so much of the COVID stuff has led to how the season has played out that I think it's made it hard to separate.
Mm.
I've enjoyed a lot of the actual football that's been played, but it just... I don't want to come across negative here because obviously, you know, there are worse things than what we have to do. But it very much has felt like the last season has been there for the sake of being there.
Mm.
You know?
I would say I haven't enjoyed this season I say that I've been grateful for this season.
Yeah.
And what I mean, and that's what I mean. I mean that in terms of like, because it's hard to say I've enjoyed a lot of the games and the surrounding stuff. And it's been hard to ignore a lot of the surrounding stuff to just enjoy the football. But in terms of something to continually turn to, in terms of a, you know, I said this maybe before, a source for new stories every single week as a distraction from this isolation. Oh my God, I've been so grateful for it. Mm. Really so grateful for it. Even some of the, like, the bad games, even the games you can bond over, the ones where, like, you know, the players are obviously knackered and just like going through it. And then you kind of that online community you're talking to about stuff and just like, yeah, it's been really, really useful. It's like having a tea, isn't it? It's been like having a radio on in an empty flat just to have that community and that sound. Because definitely the first lockdown when there was no football on at all, that was difficult. I don't have a lot of the challenges of a lot of people in isolation, don't get me wrong. I don't have like, I'm not like a single parent with multiple children where you've got to feed all those mouths. And it's like, you know, I don't have those challenges. I don't really talk about the challenges of the lockdown too much because I feel like I don't have it as hard as most people. I really don't. And I want to make that clear. I just want to say that having football as a regular outlet to bond around has really, really helped. And that being a mental health awareness week, like one thing we've noticed mm-hmm. is that we do get messages from people, don't we, about people going, you know, this has helped. Like having a podcast has helped some people just having that routine. And I think having, so again, people may not enjoy the study of podcasts. They may be grateful for it. imagine
that's it. Yeah, yeah. To be honest, I just listened to Stadia podcast because it's very much just like we need to get through this. And then once I've actually got better things to do, then I'm fucking this off.
Someone said he no longer listens to the podcast like on a speaker because it makes my laugh makes the dog bark. Dog barks in anger.
The thing that's made this season difficult for me is just the pure pace of it. Patrick Corcoran also said, are you guys ready for the season to be wrapped up soon? Feels like everyone could use a break given how last season finished and how long this one has left. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's it. I think it's one of those, it's been great, but also it's been, you know, when you have the games spread out, I'm really looking forward to having the games back in certain timeframes. That's been the really hard thing, I think, because it is just like this, it is never end. I was thinking about doing an end of year or an end of season roundup, but just doing it in the style of Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh yeah.
Joey. So just
that's
like
gonna be so rapid fire, yeah.
Yeah, just literally just stuff.
Dude, that would actually be brilliant.
Bina Chroma says, when are you guys doing a what if episode again? We'll do one actually. She said, anything on the horizon by any chance? Probably do one towards the end of the season, if not.
People like a what if, don't they?
They do like a what if, yes.
A strong hypothetical,
a very mellow take. This one from The Biz. Let's do a couple of quick fire ones before we bounce because we got a little bit deep there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But listen, they knew what this was.
Yes.
That's what they came here for.
Drew Bar. Which coach from any other sport do you think would be able to transition over to football? And also, which team would they suit?
Eddie Jones. Yeah. Eddie Jones.
Wow.
Eddie Jones. Oh my God, Eddie Jones. Absolutely, Eddie Jones. He'd be amazing because he loves all of it. Best press conferences, loves the chat, obsessed with finding spaces. I think it would be someone from rugby union and rugby league because those sports that are obsessed with finding spaces with, because what is it, 13 a side in league and the gaps are so small. So you've got that like incredible thing about the dynamism actually of football and rugby league is always felt quite similar, weirdly enough. There's always a similar energy to them. I feel like Eddie Jones got like a mind of like a Tuchel, but he's got that kind of like Chris Wilder type. I'm coming for everyone, you know, that kind of same energy. I think Eddie Jones would be amazing.
And which club?
Oh goodness. Eddie Jones at Leeds would be an incredible cultural fit because you've got that kind of like the Leeds Rhinos type. I'm just thinking of like Eddie Jones to Leeds United in terms of once Bielsa like goes back to like chill wherever he goes, because Bielsa goes on his other journey, Eddie Jones coming to Leeds would just be like box office. Absolutely box office.
He sent Eddie Jones to Leeds United?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Think about it. He'd send for one of the first things he'd do would be sending for Manchester United. It'd be like, that derby is that we're going to beat them twice a season. He said, these lot are stealing a living. I can see I'm hyped already.
I'm going to say Greg Popovich.
Pop at Juve.
No.
Really?
No.
Where would he put Pop? Where would he go? Where would he go?
Pop would be at, weirdly, I can imagine Pop managing Real Madrid.
Oh my God.
In a full Bernabeu.
Such a Pop job. Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's like, if they're like, you know, low key enough. Maybe Pop at Sevilla.
Pop would go to, Pop would win a league. He would win a league with someone like Sevilla. He would. Because he'd have the chops to get them over the line. He's a foodie. This is why Sevilla works.
Well, Madrid's a big food town as well.
No. But not like that. No, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not a... Madrid almost feels too obvious. You look at San Antonio and he's a foodie. That's why Sevilla is a great shout. I think you nailed it first time.
What about Athletic?
Yes, Athletic Club.
Pop at Athletic, he would consistently get them fourth.
Without question.
Yeah.
And then in his last year, they'd go on like a fairy tale run. Yeah. They'd go deep into the Champions League. They'd go out. You know what? They go out. They come second or third in their league in his last season. And they go on a quarterfinals run, the Champions League. And then when they said goodbye, it'd be like, Senor Popovich, you're always welcome here. You're an honorary, you're one of us. You can imagine honorary Basque. By the end of it, they'd present him with a plaque and he'd have like an honorary Basque name or something. Can you imagine this?
It's very good. The Biz
It'd be
says,
like an honorary godfather to so many kids.
Let's do this one really quick as well from the Biz because it's kind of related. Is there a move that would benefit both clubs in the Premier League from a straight manager-manager swap? I would say Pep to Arsenal and Mikel Arteta can go to Manchester City.
Troll level 5,000. That's very convenient for you, isn't it, Ryan? What's funny about Arteta to Man City is he'd have the pieces, he'd have players he'd worked with.
Yeah, and in an environment that he'd worked with, that would actually kind of make sense, I think. I think that they wanted him to potentially be the successor to Arteta.
Here's the question for you then. So every club Pep goes to, he looks around and then does something so funky, unexpected and brilliant that everyone ends up copying it all over all levels of football. Mm-hmm. What innovation, if Pep went to Arsenal, what innovation would he drop that we hadn't seen before?
He'd probably try the Philip Lahm thing with Bellerin. Move Bellerin into a holding midfield role.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like Bellerin should be on the ball more. It's not a bad shout. Especially with Bellerin not having the kind of the light speed gas because of the injuries. Mm. No disrespect, but the extra gear, maybe the sixth gear has
probably
gone now.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would be that, but it would probably be something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Or like Lacazette as like a holding midfielder.
Something like this, yes. Yeah, something like that, yeah. Anyway.
What's your swap?
Guardiola and Bielsa.
Ooh, I like that.
Because then Bielsa has all the pieces.
Although I'd actually prefer Guardiola, Bielsa and Klopp to swap.
Yes. Although, oh my goodness, Klopp at Leeds. Oh my goodness, that's perfect. That's perfect. Love to see that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
I reckon we're good.
Yeah.
Sorry we didn't get to all the questions. Thanks to anyone who sent them in. Hope everyone's staying safe, well, getting vaccinated if they can. When's your second dose? I've asked you this already. I think I asked you on Monday.
Weeks from now. Yeah, a few weeks. Yeah, yeah. Not too long though. Not too long.
Can't wait for that.
Hotter takes.
Yeah, don't forget to check theringer.com/soccer. You can check our website, stadio.football. We're putting up, reformatting the older pieces going up. We reposted the one from Mash St. Paddy.
Yes.
About being the last black man in non-league football. It's really good.
Yeah.
So go to stadio.football to check that.
Also, actually, shout out to Mash. He's got an amazing Caribbean cricket podcast as well. Check him out.
Yeah.
At Mash St. Paddy, check him out.
You can go to our Twitter at Stadio. You can go to our Instagram at Stadio Football. Stadio Outros playlist on Spotify. I'm playing out this episode on Tam Tam by Code K. Miss, anything you want to add?
I'm good. You're under the defence rests.
Lovely. All right, then. We'll be back on Monday.
Yep.
Have a lovely weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Stay well. Much love.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.